to Psalms 11. This morning I want to preach on the subject of one of the Psalms from the life of David. And there's some things there in his life that I believe that it really helped me, and I trust I can share some things that God's been trying to teach me. And I'm sort of hard-headed at times. Sometimes God has to really turn up the heat to get my attention. But I think in the days in which we live today, I think God has turned up the heat in every Christian, every nation, every circumstance around the world. Never would I dream that I would see things that we're seeing today in the last 2 years. Would you? But anyway, let me read the scriptures, or otherwise we're going to get bogged down and then we won't get anywhere today. But in Psalms 11, by the way, I appreciate the great job Rebecca's done, and these guys have really been a blessing to me since they came up, and they have fed me. I am fed up in a good way. And their little daughter, I like her. She's pretty good. I mean, she's helped me with my homesickness from the other grandkids there, you know, and that's neat down in Winkler, and I love that as well. In fact, really, I think she just about devastated Dad yesterday, and she wanted to hold my hand, not Dad's hand, when it was time to pray. I said, all right, that's a great young lady there. So I enjoyed that. But anyway, Psalms 11, the Bible said, in the Lord put I my trust. Now, when we get into the psalm, you're going to realize, for me, this relates to a lot of what we're facing today. I really needed this. And then he says, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, it's over. There's no hope. We'll never get out of this mess. It'll never get better. You ever feel like that? That if not, be patient. It's coming. And it'll not just be one time, but many times throughout the Christian life. And then notice the Bible said, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. In other words, against those that are righteous, those that are holy, those that want to do right. They're determined for their destruction, their demise. We're there today. Are we going to live in fear? That's what David was told to do. And then notice, and he says, ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately or in secretly or deceptively shoot at the upright in heart. And then this great verse that I've often used, but it's become more special to me in these days now in which we live. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we supposed to do when everything that we trust is collapsing? Well, does it sound like today? Can you relate to it? If not, well, anyway. But does it end there? I'm glad it doesn't. Verse 4, what did David do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Amen. I look forward to that day more than ever before. And then he said, his eyes behold, his eyelids try, the children of men. Nothing is hid from God. It's okay. Everything that happens to you and I, and everything that people do or don't do, whatever, everything, God sees it all. Then he says in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. I don't like the trying part, but it is necessary. But notice what it says about the unrighteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth God, does not like sin. He doesn't overlook sin. Time doesn't change God. In other words, he doesn't say some things are okay now. No, sin is still sin, but he loves the sinner, and I'm glad. Then he says, verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Is David praying for that? No, he's just declaring this is what's coming if they don't seek the Lord. Judgment is coming. Then verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for thy goodness and mercy. Thank you for your blessings. And we are weak. And God, day by day, we're recognizing how we need the presence of God, how we need the strength of God and the comfort of God. Lord, how I pray, God, for this ministry. I pray for the pastor and his family. I pray for each and every one that's present. And Lord, I go through the list praying for people that are here. I strive to pray for them daily. Lord, would you touch them and help them? And God, those that aren't here, God, minister. Lord, may we not look down, but look up and recognize that our redemption draweth nigh. May we remember that, God, you see all things, that you love us, and you patiently trying to lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've said, never have I seen things like this. I can remember when I first got saved, and most of you know I came out of Catholicism and then got saved by the grace of God. And I realized it was not religion, but it was faith in Jesus Christ alone. And I remember begin to hear sermons on the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the last days, and so on. Then in Bible college, when I went to Bible college, and numerous, you know, teachings, lessons, and doctrinal lessons, whatever, on the subject of the coming of the Lord and prophecy conference. And then also met some Jewish evangelists that I really loved that gave great insights on prophecy and the coming of the Lord. And then I preached on it numerous times. I preached on it here. I preached at various ministries. I taught it in the Bible college in Winkler. Well, folks, I'm here to say that we're here. I'm no longer declaring that it's coming, but I want you to know, unless God intervenes, we are in the last days. No, we're not in the tribulation period. Amen. This is a piece of cake. This is not pleasant. This is not easy. And when I try to comprehend, just to lay the groundwork for all these things that God has used, I could not comprehend almost every government around the world. I mean, every government is now becoming anti-Christian, anti-God, every country. Many countries are on the verge of collapse. Some economically are already down that path of economically, you know, collapsing financially and so on. We're living in some dire times. If I wasn't a child of God, it would really be hopeless. I don't know what the world is doing. And when I see that, you know, and it boggles my mind when I recognize that, I was talking to your pastor, Brother Chris, Brother Sullivan, and I said, you know, it boggles my mind that we even have politicians that are making statements like, we need to establish some type of training campground or something where all these wacko believers and fundamentalists who believe in independence and freedom and so on need to be gathered together and reprogrammed. How about that? Wow. I knew that, and this may shock you, I knew that Trump would lose, but I knew that he would win. Now, what do you mean by that? Because I knew 6 months before the election, all of a sudden, that came out that the Liberal Party had sent out over 80 million ballots with no names, whatever, that would be submitted into the election. Wow. And then they just had a man come before Congress. Now, this is so encouraging, but you think, where's God at? He's right there. I told you, Pastor, I said there were some other times I wish I could live. I mean, I would love to live during the time of the Great Reformation, the time of great revivals, God moving mightily. Oh, my goodness, I would love that. And I shared with the church years ago here, I believe the Lord allowed us to experience a great revival in one of the colleges. I've never seen things happen like I did. Souls were being saved, multitudes were turning to Christ. And they were just unbelievable. Man, the presence of God was so real, and people were crying out to God, and how I yearned for that. Or maybe during the time of David or Moses or Noah's Ark, but I have to clarify, inside the Ark, not on the outside looking at the Ark. I want to be in the Ark. But the bottom line is, and you know, we were talking this morning, and your pastor shared a verse that was really a blessing. God has chosen you and I for such a time as this. God had placed David at a time frame which he needed him. And Moses, and Joshua, Ruth, Naomi. God has determined that you and I be a witness for him in these last days. It is a divine plan, a divine appointment of God, but I don't like it. And I'm going to share some things that I've had to go through. And I recognize, even like I said, there was a man that was just brought before Congress who shared he developed the software that can go into the machines that we're now using. By the way, tragically, I found out you're using the same machines here. That it can go in and take your vote, place it to someone else, but the news media will not cover it. How about that? In Arizona alone, they have now found out there's multiplied thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and now there's criminal activity. Now some are starting to panic. Some are starting to go to jail. We're living in the last, well, what are you going to do? We're going to just panic? No, God's on the throne. God allowed Biden to be president. How about that? God allowed him to be present, and here's the man that hates God. There's no other way to say it. But the Bible said, I'm to pray for him. That is tough. But God's on the throne. God makes no mistakes. And when I seen what happened in Afghanistan, I mean, wow. The people that were martyred, the way that they took the people out was unbelievable. Do you recognize that in Afghanistan, there were many missionaries and Christians that were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ? When he allowed that to happen like that. I remember one occasion, there was a lady on the phone with another lady, and they were coveting for prayers. They were in hiding, yet the men and women and children were singing praises to God during this time of great defeat. That's just recently, folks. That was not a year ago. That was just, what, weeks ago, a month ago? And all of a sudden, they heard the explosion, the enemy coming in. And the guns started blazing, screaming and crying, and next thing, everything went silent. But what a way to go to heaven. And you know, am I depressing you yet? I mean, but deep down, if you understand what's happening, this is the last days. But can I say this, that God's allowing, that maybe all these things, I won't talk about prayer the next hour, you recognize maybe God's allowed all these things for me and for you for our spiritual benefit? Why do we think that you and I should not have to suffer when other generations have had to go through great trials? I remember living in England when we first started our ministry there in the 70s, and I can remember we'd have an afternoon service, we had a children's ministry, and then the adult service, and then afterwards we'd take our two little children down to the park. It was called Christ Church Park in Ipswich, England. And I remember I kept seeing these monuments, and finally I stopped to read the names on these monuments. I said, what are these things about? And there were the names of men and women, boys and girls, who were martyred for their faith because they would not deny Christ. I remember one place in England, now my mind went blank where it was at, but I remember they call it the Field of Blood. There were so many Christians that would not deny their Lord that literally the ground turned red because they would not deny their Lord. I'm not saying that's going to happen to us, but I tell you what, I'm not looking down. I'm looking for the rapture to take place. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come again. Now, why is God allowing these things? I think in my life, because God found me in my scenarios I'm sharing with you, finding myself time to go on like this, the roller coaster. Where's God? I'm still here. This is part of my plan. God has to allow us and remind us that, listen, the hope is not in the government. When the government says worship the government, God says, no, you need to worship me. And right now, listen, there is no stability in any country, in any government today. The stability is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And can I share this with you? When during the millennial reign, you know what's really... And I love this part. There is no Washington, D.C. There is no political parties. There is no kings, potentates, prime ministers, or president. There's going to be Jesus Christ ruling in righteousness and peace. And by the way, you who and I who are believers will be ruling and reigning with Him. Did you know that? When I think of the last days, I'm reminded of watching the nation of Israel since May 14th, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion declared nation that Israel is now a nation, then all of a sudden all the Arab nations at that very moment came against them. They had an army of 19,000 men. They had 10 planes, two may have worked. And the way they dropped their bombs, they'd open the window and drop it and hope they would hit something. They had 19,000 men and they were not very well equipped. The armies that were coming, all the nations that were coming against them had the best technology of that day. The president of the Arab nations at the time made the statement, at the end of this war, it would be a complete annihilation, no Jew left, everyone dead. Did God show them up? By the way, no nation came to their defense. America said, well, we're for you, but sent no troops. But you know what God said? God did not want other nations to help them. God wanted to show them your defense, your hope is in Jesus Christ or in the Son of God. And guess what God did? God delivered them. The armies of the world were defeated by just a little incident. Why, it was God that did it. Do you realize what God is doing? God is shouting up. By the way, let me give you this. In the last 19 years, more Jews have been saved in the last 19 years than there have been in 1900 years in Israel. Yet the persecution amongst the Christians is unbelievable. I've been watching and enlisting and reading. It's unbelievable. The Jewish rabbis and the staunch Jewish Christians, are Jews. I mean, they're going out there. They say, we need to kill these people. Sounds like almost during the time of Jesus Christ. But they're becoming more bold for their witness for Jesus Christ. God is doing something unusual. God, by the way, for 2,500 years, there was no nation. Did you know that? There was no nation. There was no government. There was no nation of Israel. And all of a sudden, on May 14th, there, and at that very moment, they became a nation. God's time clock of prophecy, from my perspective, began, in other words, ticking down to where we are. The next thing to happen as I see the scripture is Jesus Christ coming again, dear friend. Now, what has God been doing in my life? I think God has been trying to break me and mold me to bring me closer. I think God has been trying to purge the church. I think God has been working in individuals and lives. I'm seeing something happen in some ministries and some lives that have never happened before. I'm seeing some people get closer to God, but it's taken great trials to bring them there, great difficulties and great tragedies. And by the way, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. I had it, got over it, didn't even go to the doctor until afterwards. They said, you know, you were suffering. I said, yeah, I know. And I preach in all these churches where people have got it, and God, you know what? I'm just not going to run from the coronavirus. I'm not going to let these things dictate my faith in Jesus Christ. I still believe God's greater than the virus, greater than every. I think we can still trust Him today. Amen. Let me make this statement. Maybe God's allowing all these things in your life to do greater things through this ministry. I'm believing that. God's done something in my life through all these things. For one thing, He's given me a greater yearning for heaven than I've ever had before. A less desire for this world, a greater desire to see people know the Lord. I pray for this ministry. I strive almost daily, and I try to call you out by name that God will be with you. As I do my list and going through the list, that God will send great revival. People are suffering. Great trials are ahead, but God still reigns today. But let me get into this. Otherwise, like I said, I'm getting bogged down, and I know there's nothing new to that. But I got 3 points, but no poem. I don't have poems. They don't come out very good. So anyway. By the way, Brother Chris, you're really doing well with song leading. That's just something I hated to do. I forced to do it at some time, but I hated to do it. But anyway, just 3 points of the outline, and it's verses 1-3 is faith versus fear. So the subject, the theme, is faith. Then verses 4-6, faith versus circumstances. Then thirdly, faith versus defeat. And in Psalms chapter 11, all this took place in David's early life before David became king. And so as you look at these Psalms, by the way, I think it's interesting as well that there's 3 things that God used to prepare David to be king in these early stages as you look at these verses. One, we find David in the valleys and in the hills with the sheep, watching over the sheep. Well, what was God teaching him there? He learned how to walk with God. He learned to sing the praises of God. He learned to worship Him. He became a saint of God. That's the foundation. That's where you start. That's where I have to go back to. If you don't have that place, get back to that now. Develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the starting point, the foundation, that which keeps me going is a relationship with Him. Then second of all, we find David exalted in the king's court. Well, David was excited. In fact, really, David's a little bit naive. Oh, man, look where I'm at. This is great, and this is wonderful. I'm with the king. Then he found out it's not so pleasant afterwards. The king tried to kill him. Then he found out the court, some of the leaders, political leaders, the religious leaders were opposing him, tried to threaten him. So David learned wisdom, cunning, skill. He learned to be a politician, but in a godly way, the right kind. Not a lot of them left anymore, amen. But then thirdly, we find something else. We not only find David first in the valley, in the hills with the sheep, then second we find him, you know, there with the, exalted with the king, but then all of a sudden now we found him as an outcast. We find him in the caves hiding. And David could have grumbled, but where is my God? But you know what David recognized? God allowed those things for his life. Do you know everything we're facing, Romans 8:28? For some things work together for good. For my complaining says that. For all things work together for good. God allowed it because He loves me. Nothing but God, I don't like it. My mother passed away all of a sudden. I had to do the funeral. In fact, my stepfather came to me the day before she died and said, son, you got it all. And I'm there, but I didn't know. They didn't tell me. Then he said, I need you to take care of the funeral things. He said, I can no longer do it. He was 91 at the time. I said, okay. We did it. But you know what? She was saved. She called Kathy to her bedside the day she was in the hospital. She had pneumonia. Hated to go to the hospital. I'd rather die than go to the doctors. But you know what? We made her go. And she called Kathy to her bedside and said, Kathy, I'm tired. They were close. And said, Mom, it's okay. It's okay. We know you know the Lord. We're saved. And she closed her eyes, never came to again. And I would take the scriptures and read Psalms 23, different Psalms to her. And then I had the joy of preaching her funeral. Isn't the Lord good? And then not long after that, my sister's funeral. The battles never end, but the grace of God is always sufficient for every soul. Through all the circumstance, God said, I want you to go down so that I can bring you up. The pressures that are on us right now, yes, it is bleak. Will it get better? Probably not. Could God give us a reprieve? I'm praying that way, but I don't see it coming. But yet, and it's not a depressing comment. It's just the fact that, you know, the way I see it, man, we're in the last days. But that's okay. God is not threatened or threatened. He's not nervous. He's not upset. He's still in charge. How about that? They just think they're in charge. But notice the advice that David was given in these particular verses. Notice in verse 1, we come to the first point, fear versus faith. Notice what he says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, you know what the advice was given to David? David, it's over. The king is against you. The court, the leaders, and some religious leaders, they're against you. The nation now is against you, David. There is no hope for you, David. If you're going to survive and you're going to live, you need to find a hiding place and you just live out your days, because there's never going to be a hope for you. It's over. That's what the devil will tell you and I in our situations day by day. What are you trusting in? Where's your faith? And what would it take for God to bring us down so that he might bring us close to his presence? And so, you know what? Can I be honest? I found myself sometimes getting angry. I said, why would people do that to other people? And God said, but you know what, Dave Cook? Your anger is just as wicked as what they've done. I said, okay, Lord, you're right. Forgive me. Lord, I thank you for the situations. I thank you for the difficulties. Ouch. I thank you for Biden. I thank you for, Lord, because you mean it for my good, even though the devil means it for my bad. And wouldn't that happen to Joseph? His brethren did it for a mean purpose, sold him in slavery. Yet God allowed that to happen. You know what? Anything comes, when you give it, even if you do wrong, you give it to God. He takes it and says, all right, I'm going to make something good out of it. But the process is never easy, is it? But I've thought about this, and I may mention more of it in the next hour. God only uses brokenness. Only that which is his Lord, and we love you. You know what gives me joy each day? Christ. Christ. Nothing else. And so the Lord's done a tremendous work in my heart. But David said, you know what? I'm going to have faith in my God. Not faith in the words of man, faith in the situations, but I'm going to trust my Lord and have faith in him. And then notice what he says in verse 2 and 3. For notice, he gives the reason that he was instructed, encouraged to run. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. Man, I mean, they're looking for opportunities to bring destruction and misery. It's amazing that, by the way, be thankful you don't live in Australia. If you've not kept up with the news, I mean, my goodness gracious, I mean, they have come into some of the most vicious countries in the world for dictatorship. You know what they're saying? Many of the nations are saying now, globalism, globalism. One even said, one world government. Wonder where this is coming from. Folks, you're not recognizing this. If you're a child of God, don't be afraid. If you're not saved, then you need to make sure, you know what, Lord, I am trusting you today. And if people are listening, you know what? Ask Jesus to come into your heart. But there's no other way. There's no hope out there. It's just Jesus Christ, him crucified. The only one that's worthy is the Savior. Lord, we want to exalt you and glorify your holy name, for worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. And so in verse 2, he talks about their destruction, their anger, their hatred towards sin. Is this something new? It's always been there in every generation. But it's getting worse, but it's the signs of the time. By the way, do you know that God declared that Israel, once they become a nation, will be the most fruitful, they would for fruit-bearing nation in the world? Do you know that was in Isaiah? Do you know that right now, they produce and export more fruit and vegetables than any other country in the world, and the size of their land is only 8,000 miles, more than any country in the world to Europe. Unbelievable. That's God. They've learned to make water. They now can take it from the air. Astounding. A lot of the technology, and you know, because God's blessings on them. Tell me God is not real today. But anyway, I don't mean to get bogged down. But notice what he says. It says they have the arrow and the bow, and they're ready to pull it. In other words, they're looking for every opportunity. Now keep in mind, he's referring to the leaders, the legislators. How about that? Maybe put it in that term. Those who are passing laws, those who are trying to enforce and take away freedom. In Australia right now, they've declared that if you don't get your vaccination, you'll lose your freedom, you go to jail. That was one thing they said. Another thing is, now we will take your children from you, for you no longer have the right to raise your children. Wow. You think that's an accident? No, we're in the last days. God's on the throne. Are we going to panic? No, I'm going to get closer to Christ and trust the Lord. And recognize, you know what, God? The dark of the night, one day the bright of the day. Jesus is coming again. And then he says, notice that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. That means in secret. In David's presence, they all said, oh, we love you, David. But behind his back, they were plotting and planning his demise, his destruction. And tragically, the religious leaders, I mean, the political leaders today, and in so many countries, they're plotting and planning. You know what they say about the church? It is a blot. It is a blemish of disgust to humanity. Did you recognize that? And now if you believe in decency and holiness and purity and right, you become disgusting. That's hate speech. What boggles my mind, there's now so many different, what do they call it? Oh my goodness. You know, what's the term? Like male and female, different, my mind went blank. Like sexes or whatever. But anyway, now there's supposed to be so many versions, nobody knows what they are anymore. I said, how sad. The Bible says male and female. Duh. That's not hard to understand. But now for you to make that statement in public, oh, that's vicious. But God says, no, that's sin. I'd rather stand on the Lord's side. And the Bible said they're doing it in deceptively, in secret, plotting and planning. When I was in the military, one thing they taught us there, I'll never forget this one, when I was, you know, still in basic training, they wanted to teach about the importance of camouflage in case you're in combat or whatever. Learn how to hide and protect yourself. And so we're standing out in the field. There's a platoon of us standing there. He said, there's some men out there. Spot them. And we looked for an arrow. We couldn't find none of them. Not a one of them. And all of a sudden, he said, now, he gave an order, said, men, stand. There was about 7-8 men standing, maybe 15, 20 feet from us. And there were no trees. I was blown away. And that is the same message that's applied there. Satan comes in looking for methods, deceptively, secretly, to discourage you, make you quit, and run. Don't run. Stay by the stuff. Don't leave the Savior. Stay in the book. Stay in prayer. And stay in church, because this is where God has promised to meet with us. Oh, my goodness. I was looking forward to being here. Come up to Winkler, and all of a sudden, Kathy and I both will get this massive, so I always get sinus problems in Winkler. I don't know what it is, but I always do. And now I think it went to a head cold or something or whatever, and bought over that. But amen. The joy of sinuses. I'm going to get a new body one day. No more sinus. I'm taking allergy pills. None of that stuff. Type 2 diabetic. None of that stuff. Amen. I look forward to that day to see Jesus, the glorified Son of God. Wow. I think of people who passed away in Canada that I've known and done the funerals in different places and around the world. And I'll see them again because they profess their Savior. They profess Jesus Christ. I look forward to that. No more heartaches, no more sadness. What a day! But then it doesn't end there. But notice in verse 3, and then I'm not going to keep you much longer, no more than 2 hours, teasing. See, that way I got your attention. But notice in verse 3, the verse that really hit me hard, just maybe about a couple of months ago, as I'm meditating on this chapter. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is David. Do you see the desperation of David? I mean, David is downcast. He's dwelling on his nation that he loves. He's thinking about the king that he loves and wants to honor. He's thinking about the leaders of that day, both political and religious leaders. And he sees their corruption, their wickedness, their hatred. And that's what this verse means. God, what are we going to do who are righteous if all of our leaders choose to be ungodly? How are we going to stand and make it in this system? But I'm glad that it doesn't end there. David was just being honest of his emotions. God, this is getting worse. Can I say, it probably will get worse for you and I, but God is not discouraged. And he doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants to be with us day by day. It will, you know, I love the song, "It Will Be Worth It All." Whew. How that encourages me. I get the phone calls from preachers and Christian friends during the past 2 years, going through some great trials. And one day, no more phone calls of depression, discouragement, and sadness. One day, the battle will be over, and you'll say, this light affliction. You know, when you read that verse, light affliction, I'm thinking, but God, it doesn't sound so light. But in the light of eternity, said, you know what? It really wasn't that bad after all. All that God has prepared for them that love Him and know Him. Amen. Boy, does that ever, you know what? You can have this world. I look for the better one. And then when Jesus comes back, my, Barry, I'm sorry, no more hospitals. But you'll have a new job. As a saint of God, you'll be ruling and reigning with Christ, ministering and helping nations. How about that? Could you imagine that? Wow. Encouraging others who made it through the tribulation period, they got saved. We'll have a brand new ministry of exalting the Savior and encourage. Wow. Could you imagine nothing negative ever being said or done? Could you imagine never locking your doors? And a glorified body, I ain't worried about it anyway, but I mean, just anyway. But notice in verses 4 through 6, but David all of a sudden changes from faith to fear. You know, fear is a terrible thing, isn't it? Fear will choke the very life out of you. It will also shut down your immune system and cause you to lose your health. Fear is a terrible thing. It causes you to lose hope and hopelessness. And Satan loves it. That's when he works the greatest. It could be your job, could be your health, could be your finances. Fear is a terrible, it's real, but hey, everything you're facing is a child of God. God says, this is my divine gift to you. But God, I don't like that gift. Can I give it to somebody else? Let me just pass the buck here. God said, no, this one's for you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He said, and someone said, he must really love me a lot. He does. And God is trying to remove the obstacles, the problems, the battles. He's trying to purge us, to bring us, to make us to be the saints that he wants us to be, to prepare us to do greater things for him. But in verses 4 through 6, what a thrill, what a joy this one is. He changes. And now David had another choice, his faith versus circumstances. You know, it's amazing. You get through one difficulty, it doesn't take long, there's another one. Well, when will that ever stop? You get to heaven. If it's not a house problem, car problem, physical problem, this problem, that problem, problems. When will it stop? When you die or the rapture takes place. And so David is saying, you know what? I am choosing to serve God no matter what the circumstances, because his circumstances didn't look too good. They were pretty bleak. Everyone was against him as far as he could see. By the way, when David was out in the cave, you know what David learned to do when he's out in the wilderness? He learned to be a leader. He learned to be a warrior. He learned how to stand and stand in the right spirit. How about that? He didn't quit on God. So, Lord, teach me how to stand when things are looking bleak and not to run and not to complain. Do I complain? With the best of them. May not say it to others, but I'm sure saying it in my heart. God said, I see that. Yes, Lord, I know. I know. It's there. It's complaining pretty big now. I understand. Fear, worry, anxiety is not faith in God. It's faith in your circumstances. But David changes. Notice this. The Lord is in His holy... Wow, what a drastic change from it's dark and bleak, it's over, there is no hope, to all of a sudden, David's no longer focused on the negative, focused on the circumstances, focused on everything that's bleak and dark and hopeless. And things can be bleak. But notice, he said, I'm going to focus on Him who is Lord of Lords. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne, by the way, when he said the Lord's in His holy temple, I love that. What does that mean? He's holy. He's high. He hasn't changed. He's not been corrupted. He's not been contaminated by the effects and the politicians and the things of this world. He's still pure and holy, and I can trust Him. Then he said, likewise, His throne is there. Now, why is he emphasizing the throne? Well, the throne represents authority and power. And His throne is above every throne. His throne is above every government. That's why one day, you know, one of the men that I've known, I listened to read some of his stuff after, he lives near the Valley of Megiddo, where that great battle's going to take place, the River of Blood, you know, the Bible talks about in Revelation. And he was describing that, and he said, but you know what's a blessing? I won't be here for that. He said, but it's coming a time when every nation will have to admit and bow the knee. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and every knee shall bow. And then surely worthy is the Lamb that was slain. See, when Christ comes back, He's not coming back as a meek and lowly lamb. He'll be coming back at the second coming, at the end of the tribulation period, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And David said, I'm going to trust in Him who's God, who's greater than Saul and governments and kingdoms and circumstances. David didn't know what was going to happen in his life. David was still young, and man, his faith had been challenged. Boy, our faith is under attack today, isn't it? Our faith is under siege today. And the devil said, why trust God? Why do anything? He still reigns. See, God is saying, hey, wait a minute. All these things are happening. It is the plan of God to prepare for His coming. It's okay. It's okay. Would I choose this time if God said, give you a choice? No. But notice what he says. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes, now notice this, His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. There's nothing hid from God, saved or unsaved. God is saying, you know what David's saying? It's okay. God sees what's happening. He sees my heart, but He also sees theirs. And what he's saying, I'm going to trust my Lord to take care of this thing and this problem. In this circumstance, I'd rather trust the Lord in this thing. And then he says in verse five, it says, "The Lord trieth the righteous." I don't like the trying, but it's necessary. That means God examines. God allows things in my life that are necessary, because if God didn't test me, I'm prone to wonder, I'm prone to doubt, I'm prone to question. I get lazy in my spiritual walk. I become mechanical. So he says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but notice what he said, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God hates what others are doing that is wrong. What's staggering that we're beginning to find out, and yet the news media doesn't cover it tragically, but they're beginning to uncover a lot of these politicians in high places are involved in some very wicked stuff, extremely wicked stuff. They're finding out some have been involved in child trafficking. Some have involved in satanic worship. You think that's an accident? What are we going to do? Father, I give them to you. I pray for them. I pray they'll repent before it's too late. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to say, Lord, everything is declaring Jesus is coming again. He's coming. It's okay. And one day everything will be made right. Everything will be made holy and right. Wow, can't imagine the beauty, the majesty, the wonder, the peace of God. No complaining, no discouragement. Wow, what a day that will be. But you know what he says? David has faith in the justice of God. He'll deal with him. He's got faith in the judgment of God upon the wicked. He shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This is not before they get to hell. No, no, no. This is talking about present-day difficulties and storms are coming their way because of their rebellion and refuse to repent. He said it's going to get worse and worse for them. The more they try to persecute the things of God, God said, I'm going to persecute them. I'm going to turn up the heat in their life. I'd rather be on God's side, God's protection. And then he says, notice, this shall be my portion. Lord, it's in yours. I give it to you. But then last of all, there's another point, and this is my last point. And I like this one, faith versus defeat. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. I love this one. See, David had a choice from the beginning. How will I respond to fear, to circumstances, everything that is against me, everything that looks wrong and bad? What am I going to do? David said, you know what? I'm going to trust God if no one else does. I will stand firm in my Lord. I choose to believe Jesus. I choose to believe the Son of God. I choose to believe the Bible. And you know, by the way, David, when he arose from writing this, his circumstances didn't change at that time. But the peace of God in his heart did. Yes. The joy of the Lord was still there. Lord, forgive me for waiting for something visibly to happen instead of just waiting on him who is invisible, who will make the peace of God real and tangible. Can God still do great things? Yes. Then I want to give you this in closing. When I think about great challenges and great difficulties, this happened maybe about a year ago out west, and I don't remember where, one of the states, and the public schools were teaching some very bad, very, very wicked stuff, the teachers were. They were teaching children how to be immoral. There's no other way to be. I mean, little kids, how to be immoral. And one little boy, 12 years old, stood up and said, sir, the Bible said that's sin, that's wrong. And boy, that teacher just exploded. That was in Oregon or Washington State, I forget which one. And teacher just exploded, threw him out of the classroom. Well, that didn't stop him. He was in another class sometime later, and this teacher started teaching the same thing. About experimenting and all. I mean, our public schools, we need to pray for revival. I mean, there's some that are standing, there's some that become very corrupt. Now there's a call for people that, please, if you love your children, get them out of public schools because some of them have gotten so bad. How about that? That's sad. But he was in this other class, and this teacher said almost same thing, filth and vile and just wicked stuff coming out of this teacher's mouth. He stood up and said, sir, the Bible said what you said is wrong, and that's sin. Well, upon that, they kicked him out of school. Well, did it end there? No, his parents took him to court. And the school had to apologize and let him back in. My thought is, I wouldn't bring him back in, but I'm glad they had to apologize. But it's time that we stand in grace and faith. Dear friend, we're not to be shocked. We're just, that's where we are today. What is God trying to say? Believer, do you realize we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord? Just maybe everything that's happened, God's allowing it for you, for me, for such a time as this, to purge me, to revive me. Lord, do you have to confess like I've had to do? Lord, I confess these things have really just affected me tragically in a wrong way. I give it to you. Lord, if there's things in my life that should not be there, then God, I realize you're giving me time to make it right before that rapture, that trumpet sounds. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Do you love him? When's the last time you had a sweet relationship with him? But there's David sharing his heart. He said, man, I was so overwhelmed and discouraged. And finally, God says, quit looking at the world. Start looking to me.